Hi guys, welcome to the very first episode of the Memories of Mystic Falls podcast. I'm your host Gemma, and today we'll be discussing the pilot episode of The Vampire Diaries. So without further ado, let's get into it. So the pilot for The Vampire Diaries first aired on the 10th of September 2009 on the CW network in the United States, and it would have been shown in early 2010 in the UK. I was unaware of the show at the time. I didn't start watching until season 3. I was 10, so I was probably watching Disney Channel and crying over Robert Pattinson because Twilight had been released in 2008 and I went through a major Twilight phase. I suspect that the Vampire Diaries TV show was created and released during 2009 because of the vampire craze that Twilight had ignited. I also know that just before Twilight was released, the TV show True Blood also aired, which was kind of a similar sort of vampire, supernatural kind of thing. I feel like there was vampire-themed content for every age group at that time. Twilight kind of appealed to your young girls, tweens, then you had the middle ground, which was the Vampire Diaries, kind of your teenagers, young adults. I feel like True Blood might also fall into that bracket, but if I remember correctly, I watched it ages ago during my teenage years, and it was definitely a lot more mature. There were some really interesting things that went on there, so I'm presuming they were trying to appeal to young adults, people in their late teens. As I briefly mentioned, I didn't start watching The Vampire Diaries until season 3. I think season 3 aired in 2011 in the US, so I would have seen it in 2012. I remember watching the first episode of season 3 live on ITV2, which was the channel that it aired on in the UK. And I think someone had previously mentioned the show to me or something, and so I thought, hey, like, why didn't I check it out? Season 3 was predominantly Klaus's season, so there was a lot going on. What's that thing that they say on Twitter right now? He is the moment. He was the moment. He still is the moment. Klaus was really the catalyst to it all, and then from there on I was just obsessed. I bought the first and second season on DVD and binged watched them so that I was caught up. The show really did consume a lot of my spare time. I feel like I'm about to expose myself, but I'm sure there are people out there that can relate. When I wasn't at school, I was sat on YouTube watching edits of the show. There was this YouTube channel I specifically remember called Shattered X Desires, and they would make these little like 3 minute long or like just short video clips of the characters in the show and the couples, and it was put to like popular music or music that was in the show at the time, and I don't know why, but I just found them so entertaining. And speaking of YouTube videos and YouTube channels, another thing that comes to mind is the Hillywood Show channel. They created a Vampire Diaries parody that I really enjoyed. I remember it featured the song Teeth by Lady Gaga, and I'm presuming that it was released during season 2, but obviously I watched it later on because it featured Catherine and the Masquerade Ball and all of that sort of stuff. If you're interested in watching any of these videos, I'll be sharing them on the podcast Twitter account at MOMFpodcast. While we're on the subject of the Vampire Diaries themed online content, does anyone else remember the Facebook game? I think it was called The Vampire Diaries Get Sucked In, and you had to like complete missions. I think like the synopsis of the game was that you'd move to Mystic Falls with your dad and then you kind of met all of the characters. I can't remember much, but I remember there was some sort of like mission or like challenge where you had to like get vervain, or like you had to deliver vervain or something like that. And that was another thing that I really enjoyed playing during like the peak of my Vampire Diaries obsession. Obviously, I've calmed down a bit since then. I stopped watching the show live during season 6 or 7. It was when they introduced the Caroline carrying Alaric's babies plot. I just wasn't feeling that, but that's a discussion for another time. I did eventually go back and watch the seasons that I'd missed, but overall, I think I do prefer the earlier seasons of the show. Now that we've kind of discussed what was going on around the time of the pilot's release, and I've taken you through my history with the show, I think it's finally time to start discussing the pilot episode. So at the very beginning of the opening scene, we hear Stefan reading what I presume is a diary entry. And it's played over this foggy, ominous forest scene. And I don't know if it's just me, but whenever I hear this, it always makes me laugh. There's something kind of off about it. He says, "For over a century I've lived in secret, hiding in the shadows, alone in the world, until now." And I think that's great. It's angsty, it sets the tone for the show, but then he randomly says, "I am a vampire." It breaks to music for like a couple of seconds, and then it goes back to, "And this is my story." And to me, him saying, "I am a vampire," in the middle of all of that was kind of unnecessary. It seems so random. It's like, yes, we know you're a vampire. This is called The Vampire Diaries. That's what we expect. We then watch a mysterious figure, spoiler alert, it's Damon, attack a couple coming back from a gig. He does this quite frequently throughout the show. He will lie in the road or make himself appear vulnerable to people so that he can lure them in and then attack them. I think that the writers of the show created this opening scene to make a statement to the audience and show them that this wasn't going to be another Twilight. The show then begins to introduce us to some of the core characters, and we finally get to put a face to the dramatic narration that we heard at the start. We then meet Miss Elena Gilbert, and we learn from the diary entry that she's writing that her parents passed away in a crash, and she's just not looking forward to going back to school and facing everyone. She hits us with the lines, "I will start afresh, be someone new, it's the only way I'll make it through." The pure lyricism. She's also wearing her iconic red t-shirt, dark wash jeans, and brown leather jacket look that we all know so well from the pilot. There was really nothing that remarkable about the look, but I think that's what makes it so good, is that girls could go out and find a red t-shirt and some dark wash jeans and throw on a brown leather jacket, and they could look like Elena. Don't get me wrong, the show had its fashion moments. We got the masquerade ball looks, we got the decade dances, we had the ball in the Dangerous Liaisons episode, but I think it's so refreshing to look back at the episodes of The Vampire Diaries and see characters that were wearing outfits that were pretty relatable. Anyway, circling back to the episode, we then meet her little brother Jeremy and her aunt Jenna, who's become their parental figure or guardian. And can we just take a moment to discuss Jeremy? Because he's supposed to be 15 years old, and then Elena is supposed to be either 16 or 17, I think 17. But Stephen R. McQueen does not look 15. I think Elena's lyricism has rubbed off onto me because that was pure poetry. Anyways, I did a bit of research and a bit of digging because I was just so curious as to why he looked, you know, like he was in his 20s, and surprise, he was 21 when he was playing Jeremy Gilbert, a 15-year-old boy. I know that it is really common for actors and actresses in their early 20s to play teenagers in TV and film, but I don't know, he just looks a bit too old to be playing a 15-year-old boy. He was actually older than Nina Dobrev, who was 20. I think the only person in the cast that was actually still a teenager at the time was Kat Graham, who plays Bonnie. She was 19. This whole discussion on Hollywood casting 20-year-olds as teenagers is a whole topic in itself. Part of me does understand why it's done, because I'm sure they can work longer hours, but the other part of me is kind of annoyed because shows like The Vampire Diaries really had me thinking, and I guess this is just me being naive, but they really had me thinking that I was going to look like Nina Dobrev when I was 17. I'm 21 and I still don't look like that. And the same goes for guys. The show really made me think that 17-year-old guys looked like Stefan Salvatore, which just isn't true. Paul Wesley was actually 27. He was 10 years older than the age he was playing. Although some may argue that he was actually supposed to be like 100 and something years old in vampire years, but just let me be mad, okay? Right? My rant is over. So, on the way to school, Elena's friend Bonnie picks her up, and Bonnie is honestly one of my all-time favourite female characters on the show. Kat Graham really did carry the show on her back towards the later seasons, but that's just my opinion. Anyway, so the girls are on their way to school and Bonnie's joking about how she thinks she's psychic, and this is the first hint we get from the show that we might not just be dealing with vampires in this town. On the subject of supernatural beings and powers and abilities, we also see Damon's crow fly out across the windscreen. Throughout season one, we discover that Damon has the ability to control this crow, and he kind of uses it to spy on people. Although after season one, the idea gets dropped, which is a shame because I thought it was an interesting power to have. I'd never really seen that in a vampire show or film before. We're then taken into the hallways of the high school and we're introduced to Elena's ex-boyfriend Matt, who just can't seem to grasp the fact that she doesn't want to be with him anymore. She literally lost her parents, and for some reason Matt seems kind of mad that she decided to step back from their relationship and heal from such a big loss. I'm about to say something kind of controversial, but once Matt finally gets over Elena not wanting to be with him, he's genuinely not that bad of a guy, or at least he's not that bad of a guy in the first couple of seasons. I know that a lot of people really don't like Matt, but I kind of just feel sorry for him. He kind of gets wrapped up in all of the drama in the town, and it does kind of end up destroying his life, I guess. I don't know, that's just how I feel right now. I haven't actually watched the show all the way through for a long time, so I can't actually remember what really happens with Matt, but I just know from watching the first and second seasons the most that I genuinely do just feel bad for him. We also meet Caroline, who's kind of presented as a frenemy, I guess. She's a bit of a bitch, but she doesn't really mean it. She's just kind of insecure. And speaking of Matt, we meet his sister Vicky, who's buying pills from Jeremy, the 15-year-old drug dealer, because that's a thing. This is when we're also introduced to Mystic Falls' worst couple, Vicky and Tyler. I don't think there's ever been a time where I've really liked Tyler. I guess he's kind of my Matt. Although I will say that during this scene, I do enjoy the jab that he makes at Jeremy, where he says, "Hey, Pete Wentz called, he wants his nail polish back." I'm a big fan of Fall Out Boy. I went through a major Fall Out Boy phase, so I did appreciate that little pop culture reference. From Under the Cork Tree is their best album, tell me I'm wrong. There's also the scene with Stefan where he's trying to enroll and he's obviously not got any records or anything, and so he uses compulsion to convince the woman in the office to let him into the school. I don't know why, maybe it's the location, but this scene always reminds me of the scene in Twilight where Edward's trying to get the woman in the office to change his class because Bella smells. I know that sounds kind of crazy if you've never watched Twilight, but literally that's why he wants to leave his science class, because she smells. I honestly have no words. There are actually a couple of times in The Vampire Diaries where it kind of reminds me of Twilight, but you know, Edward Cullen could never. He wishes he was Stefan Salvatore. Once Stefan is done conning his way into high school, even though he's like 100-something years old, he finally meets Elena. She comes rushing out of the guy's bathroom after having to lecture Jeremy about being a drug dealer and being high at school. I want to take a moment to appreciate when Jeremy tells Elena to chill yourself. The writers clearly had no clue about what sort of phrases were popular with teenagers, because I personally have never heard anyone say chill yourself. I've maybe heard someone say chill out, but not chill yourself. So Stelena meets and we finally get a face reveal, and whenever I watch this scene I always hear that audio, I'm not sure where it's from, where the woman is really nervous because she's not sure that something's going to be cute, and then it turns out to be cute and she just starts screaming. I've actually seen a couple of edits and TikToks where people have done that for Damon, but I think Stefan also deserves to have that moment. Anyway, so Stelena meets, and then Stefan spends the majority of their shared history class staring at her while Matt sits in the background, kind of trying to figure out what's going on. Bonnie does eventually spell it out for Matt, quite literally, because he oversees her sending a text to Elena that says, "Hottie staring at you," and it's on her BlackBerry mobile phone, which really takes me back. When I was in year 8 or 9 in secondary school, having a BlackBerry phone was like the coolest thing ever. I was lucky enough to have one, and honestly, I love smartphones, but I do miss the BlackBerry keyboard, and also I miss the drama that went down on BlackBerry Messenger when people would change their statuses and all of that sort of stuff. We also have to endure Mr. Tanner, their history teacher, who is honestly just the worst and gives me major I was a nerd in high school and no one liked me, so now that I've got a bit of power, I'm going to abuse it vibes. Once school is finished, Elena decides to go visit her parents' graves, and she stays there for a while to write in her diary, but of course, she can never get a moment of peace. Damon has sent his crow to spy on her, and this time, there's also fog. This starts to freak her out, so she leaves, but then she ends up tripping over, and Stefan is just miraculously there. Both of the Salvators really said, "Today we will lurk." Stefan finally gets a chance to introduce himself, but then, oh no, Elena's bleeding. His eyes start to expose him and go dark, and so he bolts. I have to say that I think they did a really good job on the eye special effects. It looked believable, and it wasn't as intense as, say, putting red contacts in or something like that. I'm looking at you, Twilight. That was horrific. While Stefan was lurking around the graveyard, while Elena was running out, he must have picked up her diary, because he then goes to her house to give it back to her. And while he's giving her diary back, he manages to slip into the conversation that he has a diary, which is kind of smooth. Elena then invites Stefan to the Mystic Grill, which is like the town's bar. And it seems like that's the place to go because the whole gang just happens to be there. Matt's grilling Bonnie, no pun intended, on what's going on with Elena. Caroline's dishing all of the info that she managed to get on Stefan during her time at school. And Jeremy is harassing Vicky while she works. It becomes clear that there's a love triangle going on between Jeremy, Vicky, and Tyler. And boy, do the Vampire Diaries writers love a good love triangle. This is the first of many for the series. I guess that Matt, Elena, and Stefan would also count as a love triangle, but at the same time, I don't think it's really valid because Matt doesn't really have a chance, if we're being honest. And while we're on the topic of that love triangle, Stefan and Elena arrive at the grill and Katy Perry's Thinking of You begins to intensify, and then Matt stares over at them longingly, but then he goes over to them and shakes Stefan's hand. And at this point, I finally thought, oh my god, Matt's accepted the situation. He knows and has acknowledged that Elena's moved on, but sadly, no, that's not the case. At this point in the episode, we're getting closer to the big event, which is the party at the falls. We get a scene with Stefan and his nephew Zach, who he actually has to call Uncle Zach to kind of convince people that he is 17. Zach is concerned about the attack that happened in the opening scene, and he suspects that it's Stefan. He tells Stefan that he doesn't belong here anymore, and oof, that hurt me. But at the same time, I guess I can see where he's coming from. He's obviously scared. It's also revealed during this scene that Stefan has kept an old photo of a girlfriend from 1864 that just so happens to look exactly like Elena. It's the myth, the legend, the baddest bitch of them all, as Kai said. Catherine Pierce, Q, Running Up That Hill by Placebo, which is honestly such a banger. As I mentioned a minute ago, the party is one of the key events in the episode. To me, I think there's three. I think Stelena meeting is a major event. I think everything that goes down at the party is a major event. And then I think the confrontation between the Salvatore brothers after the party is the third major event. So I guess let's start discussing the party. The first thing that I want to talk about actually has nothing to do with anything that goes on at the party. It's just kind of something I noticed and found funny. Most of the kids at the party are underage, but they're partaking in drinking and probably other scandalous things. But if this is the case, why did they pick the most well-lit area in Mystic Falls to do all of this. Surely the music and the lighting and the fire pits and all of that would draw attention to that area in Mystic Falls, and the sheriff and the police would become aware of the party and shut it down. I know that they eventually do come and shut the party down, but damn, it takes them so long. How could they not have noticed what was going on? That was just something I thought was worth mentioning. Anyway, the party. So Stefan arrives and immediately he's on the lookout for Elena, and he's using his super hearing to kind of listen out for her. But Caroline interrupts him, and bless her heart, throughout this episode she really is trying to get his attention, but it obviously doesn't work because he's already smitten with Elena. So Stefan and Elena eventually go for a romantic stroll and kind of share their stories, and he tells her that she won't be sad forever. Meanwhile, we get a scene with Vicky and Tyler, and a quick trigger warning, I'm about to discuss sexual assault, so if that is something that triggers you, please skip ahead a couple of minutes. Tyler is getting quite handsy with Vicky and she's obviously uncomfortable. Luckily, Jeremy appears and manages to diffuse the situation. And if I remember correctly, this is actually a scene that's taken from the books. I haven't actually discussed the books during this episode yet, but I am aware of them. I have read 3 or 4 of them, but I really can't remember much from them. Although I do remember this scene. This scene is actually supposed to take place between Elena and Tyler, and if I remember correctly, Stefan is the one that's supposed to step in, but obviously they mixed things up. So Vicky is rightfully upset, and she kind of wanders off. She doesn't want to talk to Jeremy, but as she's venturing deeper into the woods, the fog starts to appear and she's attacked. We then get one of my favourite scenes in the episode where they find Vicky and Matt's kind of questioning what's going on, and the party's kind of in shambles. People are panicking and Stefan's looking on at the scene, and Matt just looks directly at him through the fire, and I just love the way that they frame this shot. We see the fire coming up at the bottom of the frame, and then it cuts to Stefan kind of backing out of the crowd, and we see Matt just kind of trying to figure out what's going on. Stefan then makes his way back to the house because, just like Matt, he's also trying to figure out what's going on, and we finally get the Salvatore brothers reunion. And I have to say that I really like how the show doesn't reveal both brothers' faces immediately. They build suspense. I mean, for the first part of the episode, we only see the back of Stefan's head until he finally meets Elena, and then we meet Damon right at the end of the episode. So Damon arrives and he's looking like the ultimate bad boy in his leather jacket, and he hits us with the famous "Hello, brother" line. It then becomes clear to Stefan that Damon is the reason for the attacks, and things kind of escalate from there. I love the moment between Stefan and Damon where Stefan's informing Damon that he actually left Vicky alive tonight, and Damon just turns around and says, "Sounds like a problem for you." Damon really was always prepared with a comeback. Damon also reveals that he knows about Elena, and he kind of brings up the fact that she looks eerily similar to Catherine, and Stefan can't stand him mentioning Elena, and so he just throws himself at him, quite literally, throws him through the window. But obviously Damon's a lot stronger than Stefan because Damon's feeding on human blood and Stefan is feeding on animal blood. So Stefan ends up kind of pleading with Damon and asking him to just leave Elena alone, which honestly makes me so sad. I know that a lot of people kind of root for Damon during season 1 and 2, and I know that a lot of people love Delana. And hey, even I'll admit that when I first started watching the show, Damon was my favourite character and I was rooting for him too. But over the years, I've gradually become more of a Stefan fan. So we're getting to the end of the episode now and we see the aftermath of the attack. Vicky is now in the hospital and Caroline and Bonnie are at the grill. Caroline is trying to sober up and she starts talking to Bonnie about how guys always want Elena and they'll just go out of their way to get her attention. And boy, is she not wrong. I feel like the Salvatore brothers really risk it all for Elena, even when she doesn't deserve it. I will also say, though, that there's slight irony in her statement because Caroline ends up getting with most of the men on the show. And speaking of getting with people, Damon is at the grill and he catches Caroline's eye, and this marks the beginning of their tragic relationship. The episode ends with Vicky telling Matt that she thinks she was attacked by a vampire, and Stefan goes over to Elena's house to make sure she's okay. Roll the credits as the Frey Never Say Never plays, because would it be an episode of The Vampire Diaries if the Frey wasn't featured? So, we've made it to the end of the episode. I hope that you guys have enjoyed listening to me today. And I apologise if the audio is a bit jumpy. I'm still kind of getting to grips with recording a podcast. This is my first time ever making one. If you want to hear more from the podcast, you can find me on social media, on Twitter at MOMFpodcast and on Instagram at Memories of Mystic Falls. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back next weekend to discuss episode 2.